Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're continuing to make our way through this beautiful season of the church here, the celebration of the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's risen from the dead, and he's at the right hand of the Father, and he rules from his throne, filled with glory. He's the glorious Son of God. All power in heaven has been given to him, and the ultimate destiny of the human race, the absolute final victory against all the powers of darkness, Jesus has got it all in his hands. And we've been privileged, so privileged as Catholics and as Christians, by his mercy to come to know him, to be children of the Father, to be brothers and sisters of the great King, to be his servants, to be his disciples, to be able to receive the gifts that's pouring out from him like a river of living water flows from the heart of Jesus Christ and from the heavenly throne. Grace upon grace, gifts given to us and the sacraments and the Word of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit, just so many wonderful, wonderful things that are real. They're real. They're not just theological concepts. It's real. Theological papers and things written and books, they help us understand what the real is and how we respond to it and how we can come to live more fully in it. And it's so good for us to, in this season, to rejoice and to marvel and to wonder at the majesty of our great King, what he's accomplished, and to think that the eternal Father, the eternal Son of God, through the gift of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling presence of the Trinity within us, God's great desire is to dwell in us and with us. We're the apple of his eye. We're his image, and he's bringing about an almost unfathomable, did I say that correct? Unfathomable. It's a hard word to say for some reason. We can hardly fathom the gift we've been given. Paul will say we carry this treasure in earthen vessels, clay pots. That's really true. And I think we're very much aware of the clay pots that we are, and we're aware of our weaknesses and struggles. We're very earthly, but we do carry the treasure. And we're supposed to gaze on that treasure, open up the treasure chest, realize who we are, what we've been given. This is the source, friends, of our dignity, our peace, our joy, our confidence, our security, our identity. It's all there. It's all in the gift. Nothing else will elevate us to the level at which we will find peace, because we're made for what Jesus alone can bring us and what he has indeed given to us in his church. Now we're members of his body. These are not just concepts and thoughts. These are realities that, thanks be to God for the saints who went all in, and they're living examples for us of how deep we can go, how deep the conformity to Jesus can happen in our lives, the miracle of a deep sense of the love of the Father, new power in the Lord to live like him, to live with hope, to live with faith, and to live with radical love. It's all tied to our capacity to come into it at the level the Lord is calling us and leading us. It's all about being attentive and surrendering and hungering after and thirsting for the Word of God, the person of Jesus, surrendering to the Holy Spirit, living each day with a profound awareness of who we are and what's happening in us, and not just being reminded every Sunday about it. You're a temple of the living God. You're a child of God. The glory of God is upon you. The promises of God have been given to you. Do you know what they are? Are you receiving them? Are you walking in them? That's our challenge. Today, again, we've been talking all this week from the teaching from John's Gospel, the Last Supper Discourse, and there's just a little short excerpt from John 15 on fruitfulness and God's love that I want to touch on today and then move into today and tomorrow, the rest of the days, touching on some of the readings from Acts that we've been given. It's really around what culminates in the Jerusalem Council and the exercise of the authority of the church to deal with confusion and division, something that really mattered. And the apostles exercising, we see them exercise their role, the unique role that comes right down to this day through the Pope and the apostles, the apostolic succession, their capacity to help us and lead us and discern the will of God when it's needed in particular ways. So here's John 15, 9 through 11, just three verses or whatever it is. Jesus went on, continued to speak to his disciples. He says, as the Father loves me, so also I love you. It's a good way to start the day, to really internalize that. That is a mind blow, what Jesus is saying right there. As the Father loves me, from all eternity, Jesus is the eternally begotten Son of God. And there's nothing deeper, more profound. There's no purer fire, overwhelming reality, power, glory, and the relationship between the Father and the Son. What we understand through it all is to see this at the center, the core of this fiery furnace between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is love. God is love. The ground of all creation is the love of the Father for the Son for the Father, and we call that love the third person of the Trinity. And Jesus is saying, he knows how deeply the Father loves him, how unconditionally the Father loves him. The power of the Father's love, the tenderness and the mercy of the Father's love. Jesus says, as the Father loves me in that way, and he's looking at his friends, this is how I love you. Here's a little Lectio Divina. You can put yourself in that circle around that Passover table. And Jesus is looking right at you, looking right into your eyes. And he's telling you, it's impossible to love you more than how I love you, because I love you as the Father loves me. My love for you is total, it's unconditional, full of love. He said, so this love, which he defined as, how do you respond if you love me? You'll keep my commandments, just as I demonstrated in my life with the Father. This is how I love the Father. I just love to do his will. I love it. I trust him. It's my food. It's my life. And Jesus knows who he's talking to. Wounded, broken men and women who are present, other than Our Lady. Weak and broken people who the Lord is using and he's transforming. And their hearts aren't fully there yet. But he knows, he wants them to see, this is where I'm leading you. This is where it's all going. So now remain in my love. Back to what he was saying earlier in John 15, remain in my love, abide in my love. That means what? What does that mean for us today? It means living with the awareness and reception in faith. That means not only believing, but trusting the work that's happening in me that Jesus has made possible through his passion, death, and resurrection, giving me the gift of the Holy Spirit to make me a temple of the living God, to draw us into communion, and the life of God is flowing, and now I'm in his body. I'm united to him. We are the body of Christ. And that is uniting us to the love of the Father and the Son from all eternity. He's saying, that's what I'm bringing you into. Now, if you keep my commandments, you'll remain here. Again, by keeping my commandments is one way of abiding, doing what the Lord has called us to do, fulfilling his commands toward us. And things like the Ten Commandments, but also beyond that, doing his will, following the role of the will of the Holy Spirit in us, the promptings, the leadings, exercising our gifts, reading the Word of God, receiving the sacraments on a regular basis, repenting of our sins, loving our neighbor, All this is what it means by remaining and abiding in him, because we're walking in his footsteps and we're doing what he told us to do. He said, if you keep my commandments, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So Jesus is saying, we're talking about the imitation of Christ, walking in his footsteps. We're his disciples, which means we're learners. We're learning this. This is the heart of what we're learning right here. If we miss this, we miss everything. Jesus is saying, here's the deal. He'll say later in John, he says that the Father loves the Son. That's the way the Father loves us. And as the Father loves the Son and the way the Son loves the Father, that's how the Son loves us. And Jesus is saying, it's about my keeping my, it's not rule following, it's total love and trust to the will of the truth itself, my Father, and love itself, my Father. And it's perfect. It's all glorious. It's wonderful, everything he calls us to. Now, if you remain in this love and keep the commandments, which is one of the foundational expression of remaining in that love, we're going to bear the fruit of the kingdom. We're going to bear the fruit of the children of God. We're going to become transformed. The Lord's going to, Father's going to use us for his glory, and we'll be glorified in heaven if we say yes to him and do his will. He'll celebrate us in heaven. We're destined for glory. It's really astounding. It's mind-blowing. He goes on to say, I've told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. Internalize that word today for yourself. And Jesus is saying this at the Last Supper discourse, and it's all about to hit the fan. The passion of Jesus is coming. He said, I've told you this, these truths, these promises, these realities, they will be your strength, and you can have joy even in the midst of trial, because we're about to enter into it. Well, that same promise is for us, for you and for me, to walk in the joy of the Lord. Now, just a quick shift here in the last minute to the Acts of the Apostles reading in John 15. Peter's beginning to address now. Paul, Barnabas, they were out preaching the gospel. They heard a word. Some were sent from Jerusalem to say, I know that Gentiles are being baptized, and they're approaching the faith, but they cannot be saved unless they're circumcised, unless they become fully Jewish in some way. And so Paul resists it. And he said, no, this can't be, this is a burden the Father does not want us. So he travels to Jerusalem to gather with Peter and James and the other apostles. And it's called the Council of Jerusalem. And we have the Vatican Council. We have all these councils that happen in history. Well, here's the first one where the authority of the apostles is exercised as they discern a real issue. And there's division. And they make a decision. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. So I hope you can join me and tune into it, because we're going to focus 90% on the Council of Jerusalem. Because Jesus told the apostles, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind will be held bound. They have real authority to guide the church. It's called the apostolic succession. It's present in the church today. So it's a great gift to the Catholic Church. It's really critical, really, for the whole world and for the spreading of the gospel. But hope you can join me tomorrow, friends. Let's keep going deeper in this season and drink in everything the Lord has for us. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.